Well, coming to the 1891 Fredonia Opera House on Saturday, March 22nd at 1 p.m. is another exhibition on screen, and it is entitled Dawn of Impressionism, Paris, 1874. And it's a documentary about the rise of Impressionism. And with me to talk about that is my all-time favorite expert on all things art. It's a distinguished professor emeritus Alberto Rey from the Department of Visual Arts and New Media. Welcome, Alberto.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure talking to you about this and anything else you want to talk about.
Yes, I do love these chats because usually, you know, I learn so much from you, and I know that everybody who's listening really enjoys your expertise on these matters. So let's get right down to it, because I think that, you know, one of the things I noticed in doing my research, you probably noticed the same thing, is that what they mention is that Impressionism is everybody's favorite art form, art period of art. I mean, when I get my wife a calendar for Christmas, I usually get her an Impressionism calendar because she loves it so. So let's talk just generally about what Impressionism is and why you think people love it so much.
So why is it so popular? I think, first of all, it's a lot of it is very seductive, very beautiful, and it's a very accessible. So you don't have to look too far to find a Monet painting or other artists whose work has been at the forefront of blockbuster exhibitions. So I guess that's why I would think it's popular, but I'm probably not the typical art viewer, so that's what I would suggest.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel the same way about theater, in the sense that I know what people like about theater, but if you asked me to go to one of those plays, I'd probably balk a little bit. Same kind
Yeah.
of idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this specific documentary that's coming, Dawn of Impressionism, and they particularly point out an exhibit in Paris in 1874 that had a lot of what we would call big name Impressionist artists in it. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of that particular exhibition?
Well, I think let me say a little bit about this documentary that's coming. I think it's really interesting because what they do is they focus on the journals in the writings of the artists during that time, and then they formulate this film about what was happening in their lives. And I find that to be always very interesting and exciting, because you get the everyday experience of these artists who are not very popular, and they're barely making a living, and they're trying to get into these salon exhibitions that are highly juried, but they're juried because they want to accept the work that the jurors are doing themselves. So, you know, it's something that they are trying to make popular by selecting work that they like. So the other thing is that they're also going to put artwork in salons. They're going to put a ton of artwork. First of all, it's going to be one right next to the other, on top of each other, all the way up to the top of the ceiling. So consequently, what happens is the art that they like the most are going to be at eye level. And the work that they're not so excited about, if they even put it in the exhibition, it's going to be super high. And remember, this isn't great lighting to start with. So you might have a work in a salon, but it might be so far up that nobody's even going to see it. So that is critical, also the placement of it. And again, this was the most prestigious exhibition in France, and in some ways part of Europe, where collectors and supporters would come to figure out what the experts thought were the best work and by the best artists. So it's important to know that that's what's going on when these artists are trying to do this kind of new work. And every artist and you know, what we consider impressionist artists is really doing something different. It's not like they're all doing one thing. They're all just doing their own interpretation of pushing the borders. of pushing what is accepted, and they see it in a completely different light than some other artist that is part of the Impressionist group. We see them all as one group, but really they're not. I mean, they're all kind of going in their own different direction.
So, I think this film is also celebrating the, I believe, the 150th year of this particular exhibition, and they're going to use the National Art Gallery in Washington, D.C., as well as the Musée Orly, I believe, in Paris, as their basis for looking at some of these paintings. What do you think is going to be some of the significant artists that are going to be, portrayed here in this documentary?
Well, again, I guess I partially didn't answer your last question, which was why is this exhibition so important? And that is because during the 1860s, the 1867, three-fifths of the work that was submitted was rejected, and it was such an uproar that Napoleon decided to set up another exhibition that he called the Salon des Refusés, which meant anything that was rejected, people could submit. So it would be another exhibition. But again, people went to see it because it was so avant-garde, but it didn't get the crowds that, the regular show got. So the Impressionists, who were at the time called Anonymous Society of Painters, Sculptors, and Engravers, wanted to have an exhibition, but they didn't want the perception that this was like just re rejected artwork. So in 1873, they decided to put their funds together. They had 31 artists, and they put their funds together to pay for to put their work in this artist studio, a photographer called Nadar, who had this beautiful three-story studio, and one of the floors he dedicated to the exhibition. And so the exhibition was open for a month. It was open between 10 and 6, in 10 in the morning, 6 in the afternoon, and then again 6 to 8. And it did get like 3,500 visitors, but that's nothing in relationship to the 400,000 that the salon got. And they also wanted to make sure that they put the exhibition on before the salon opened, so that first they weren't competing with it, but also they hadn't accepted the artists that were going to be in the salon, so it wouldn't be the artists of rejected artists who were rejected from the exhibition. And everybody in the exhibition had at one point been in the salon exhibition, so they could everybody except from Cezanne, who never really took that exhibition seriously and always submitted something that he knew would get rejected. So that's one of the reasons that this exhibition was important. And then Impressionism, the word impression, came from a critic, Leroy, who wrote about it kind of satirically, thinking that it was an impression of reality. It was an impression of a painting. So he didn't take it seriously. So that's where Impressionism actually came from with this this review. But they still considered themselves the Anonymous Society. It wasn't until later that the public considered them as Impressionists, and that's where we are now.
And how long did it take before, these artists and painters, who were going at this particular style, how long did it take for them to get to be, sort of recognized as experts and, almost geniuses in terms of the work that they produced? I mean, people like Monet and Cezanne and Van Gogh are at the tip of even somebody like me who's a layman in art, basically. So,
Right.
how long did that take for them to get there?
It took a while. I mean, Monet really was accepted more in the United States before he got the respect that we know of now. I mean, there was a lot of collectors from the United States who came and bought his work. But the French really, they had some supporters, but he wasn't as popular with collectors as he was in the United States. And then over time, his work became more and more accepted. So it took quite a while. And the again, it was the Americans in a lot of ways who pushed this this kind of art form into popularity.
You know, when I think about Impressionism too, sort of to bring this little discussion sort of full circle, I think one of the things that makes it popular for me anyway are two things I would point out. One is the use of color. I think a lot of Impressionism is very brightly colored, and I think that has a tendency to attract people to it. The blues and the yellows and all of that are so rich in a lot of Impressionism art. And the other thing about it is that, they seem to be paintings of people, in everyday situations. You see a mother and a child in a park. You see a painting of a boulevard, and people are just kind of walking around, taking their, doing their daily business, and so on and so forth. Does that resonate with you at all in terms of what creates the popularity of the art? Because you mentioned the term accessibility, and I think those are two aspects that I think make impressionism to people so inaccessible.
I think, I think yes in some ways, but I think in a lot of ways, realism is probably the most accessible. And the reason is that people can identify it. That's what they see when they look out the window or they see around them. So the idea that somebody can paint something realistically, I think, is probably the most accessible. One of the things about Impressionism, I think, that captures people's attention is the emotion of it. It's that it's not, I think sometimes realism can get caught into details. So there's so much information that you're just kind of enthralled in everything that's happening, but you really miss the emotion, that the painter misses the emotion. And I think with Impressionism, you're not limited by reality. So you can concentrate on the feelings or emotions that the artist wants to portray through the paint. And oftentimes that's through the brushwork or through the colors, and it's not necessarily through the super realistic interpretation of what they're doing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that idea of emotionality because, the painting itself really evokes something in the viewer in a way that I don't think any other style perhaps does.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So listen, I never like to go from an interview with you without knowing what you're up to, what you're doing, what your next exhibit for yourself is going to be. I think you got a big one coming up at the college pretty soon.
Yeah, September. I think it's September 15th. Let's see here. I have a big solo exhibition. And it's going to be some work from my past series, but most of this new work is work that's been inspired by the around the world trip that my wife and I went on for 5 months. Yeah, the exhibition opens September 5th. And so I think I'm going to create about 100 new works. They're going to be small, but it's going to be realistic and abstract. So it's going to be a little bit of everything, a very diverse, eclectic range of subject matter. And I'm pretty excited to put it together. I think it's going to be an opportunity to kind of, at this late stage of my life, bring together a little bit of everything I've learned over the decades of painting and looking at art, and without being necessarily restricted by a specific theme, so I can just go a little crazy on what I want to do.
So it's a little bit of Alberto Rey, past, present, and future, we'll say.
That's it. That's it.
Well, I think people are going to look forward to that, and you can be sure I'll bring you back on the podcast to talk about that once you have those 100 paintings done. You know, it blows my mind that you could just sit there casually and say, "Oh, I'm going to put 100 new works out there." You know, I've been in your studio so many times, and you know, I see all the paintings there, and I go, "Man, he's just got 100 paintings there he could
Yeah, I know.
put."
I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that.
All right, well, we won't talk about that. Well, listen,
Yeah.
Alberto, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it as always. Always enjoy a conversation with you. And well, for sure, we'll be seeing you in September.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. Take
Okay.
care.
Thanks a lot, Alberto. Bye-bye.